At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Another edition of the Net Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. Back at it again, second time this day. We didn't think we'd be back as quickly as this, but Rutgers picked up another commitment in the transfer portal for hoops. They landed Jordan Durkak, the former Merrimack guard, the 6'5", 200-pound guard, who was the NEC Player of the Year this past year, also the NEC Defensive Player in the this past year. We mentioned him on the podcast from earlier today. It sounded like everything went well, but that Rutgers might not be the favorite in this one. And it turns out he chose Rutgers for the reasons that you want to hear a guy choose a team that looks like they're going to do a whole lot of winning next year. We'll get into all the details about his commitment in a second. But first, our presenting sponsor is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, fans, and alumni, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts to hoodies, drinkware and pet accessories. Be sure to check out Night and Day this year at Rutgers Day at the Rutgers Day booth from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on April 27th. Night and Day will be selling on College Farm Road with special promotions and discounts. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep chopping. So this is a big commitment for Rutgers basketball for a couple different reasons. One, the kid's a proven winner. He's, you know, led Merrimack to two NEC titles in his time there, two regular season NEC titles, I should say. And, you know, being 19 years old and winning conference player of the year, no matter what conference you're in D1 basketball, that's impressive. Mm-hmm. And he's got 2 years of eligibility left. Talk to us about kind of what you're hearing about how this commitment came together and what Rutgers is getting in Jordan Durkak.
Yeah, so he visited three different schools this weekend. He visited Penn State, he visited Rutgers, visited Seton Hall. I will say one of those staffs was very confident they had him in the bag and complete 180. Yeah, so kind of insane how they pulled this off. But we said it in the podcast before, like if he wants to come to Rutgers, it's going to be because he wants to win, number one. And that's pretty much it. I didn't think he was going to be a starting option, because I still don't think he's going to be a starting option. But he said all the right things in Jerry Carino's article. He'll do whatever it takes. If he has to score 0 points, as long as they win, it doesn't matter. So, this whole thing just came together rather quickly. He's down the street from Rutgers in Colonia, so that definitely played a factor. I know USC was also in that top schools, I guess it was, if you call it that. But it never seemed like he wanted to leave the Northeast. I think I actually said that in the podcast before. They're like New Jersey people through and through, and his brother's going to be a top recruit in the 2026 class, has a couple of low majors right now. I think actually one of them is a mid major. This is a really good, like, seventh sixth, seventh, eighth man, wherever you want to put him on that bench role. This is a defensive player of the year, like you said. He's a little bit taller than the guards you have currently. Maybe not Dylan, because I think Dylan's listed at 6'6 now, but a good defender. And you know Pike loves that, and he's a good rebounder too. So this is a sneaky good get. Number 64 in our rankings, I believe. Yeah, number 64 overall. He actually started out in the 40s. Obviously, more players entered, so they change. But number 64 in transfer portal, and I see people complaining. It's kind of wild.
It is wild. This is a kid, though, that if he's clearly willing to come in and take a role that isn't the main scorer of a team, because if he wanted to be that, he would have went to Penn State, he would have went to Seton Hall, and he would have, you know, had his shots. But he's coming in knowing he might not be a starter. He might, you know, have to take a backseat role and just whatever the team asks of him, he has to do. And he's spoken about how he's okay with doing that. Now, I know a big negative against him is his shooting numbers, and we'll kind of get into those. Overall in the season, he scored 17 points a game. He took 11 and a half shots a game, shot 46.6% on the field overall. He shot 3.8 threes a game, and he only made 27.5% of those. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more in a second. But he shot 72.4% from the line. He averaged 6 rebounds a game, 4 assists a game, over 2 steals a game, and only 2.4 fouls a game. And why that is important, in my opinion, because if you're getting 2 steals a game and you're only averaging about 2 fouls a game and you're playing 33 minutes a game, that shows that he's just a very skilled defender. Not just that he's, you know, physically overwhelming to players, but that he knows he's very high basketball IQ, and that's something that's been talked about in the Jerry Carino article as well. But he is just, he kind of just knows how to play really good defense, and he's a really good athlete. I mean, if you just watch some of his highlights, he's throwing down these monster dunks. You know, he's got some really good hops. He's got some speed. Somebody posted in the Discord that one of his coaches compared him to Paul Mulcahy with a jetpack on his back.
Huge.
Which you love to hear.
Yeah.
But one thing I really like about Jordan Durkak that isn't getting talked enough about, I don't think I've heard anybody talk about it, is his shot selection. So if you look at his shot chart, he took 369 shots on the year. Of those 369, 198 of those shots were at the rim, and 118 of those were from beyond the arc. Only 34 of his 369 shots were from the mid-range. So that's less than 10% overall of his shots were from the mid-range. And if you compare that to a guy like Derek Simpson, last year, he took about 40% of his shots from the mid-range. He took 132 of his about roughly 300 shots from the field. It was like 290. But, you know,
I think these
at
are
that,
right?
Yeah. So yeah. Those are Jordan Durkak's numbers. You just love to see that guys, at least, you know, he might not have shot terribly well from beyond the arc, but if you think about it, this is a guy who every team in the entire conference and every team they were playing out of conference knew they had to key in on this guy. So he was getting doubled. The entire game plan was built around stopping Jordan Durkak, and this is a guy who had to play almost entire games. You know, he's playing 85% of his team's minutes on the year. They're still finding a way to win a lot of these games. And he's putting up good numbers against power fives, against high major teams. If you look at what he did against his three high major opponents this year, they played Florida, they played Georgetown, they played Cincinnati. He averaged 18 points a game, 6 rebounds a game, 2.4 assists a game, 2.3 steals a game, and shot 54% from the field. So this is a guy who's shown he can get it done at that level as well. And I think when he's not the number one, focus of teams' game planning, and he's going to get these wide open looks on kickouts from Dylan or kickouts from Ace, he's going to shoot a lot better this year than he did last year. He had his shooting percentage jump from beyond the arc over 5% from his freshman year to his sophomore year. And he's still, you know, getting bigger. You know, in Jerry's article, they also talked about, you know, he was 5'8" as a sophomore in high school, and now he's 6'5". So he's done a lot of growth in his body. And I think he's got a lot of growth in his game. You obviously want a shot maker like a Kobe Brea, but I do think that Jordan Durkak is a very good offensive player and a very good defensive player, and the kind of kid that, because he's ready to come in and take a role that isn't necessarily the primary ball handler, the primary scorer, this makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. I mean, even like you said before, shooting took a 5.5% leap from freshman to sophomore year. If he does that again, is anyone really complaining about a 32.5 3-point percentage? Maybe a little bit, but it's probably still not a hell of a lot better than that 22 he shot his freshman year. On top of that, like you said, he's not going to be the first or second option. He's probably not even going to be the third option. Like, he's going to be a lower option on this team offensively, and that could really get his numbers up completely. Not just 3-point shooting, but overall. And he already shot pretty well at the rim. I love the way he's able to adjust at the rim when he's getting. Like, he doesn't have the quickest first step to get to that rim, but he plays at his own little pace there for going from like the top of the key to the rim. And he just is able to really adjust on the fly, whether it be a midair layup or going for a dunk and then switching completely to a layup real quick. And then a lot of it's transition. We keep saying Ace is going to run the floor in transition. Dylan's going to help run the floor and help direct traffic as like the lead point guard. It's going to be a lot of fast paced movement. And that's why I keep saying, like, whoever this big man is that you're going to get is going to have to be able to move. That's where a guy like Somerville's nice, because he can put the ball on the court if need be at times. But yeah, and like Martini can move in transition at times too. He could even just spot up in the corner now, because now you have Durkak who's going to drive and have people collapse on him. Like, it's setting up to be a nice little roster. And I keep forgetting about Acuff. Like, Acuff's still there too, and he's going to be damn good. I think he might be your sixth man, Acuff. So
skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is your seventh guy, like, holy shit, you're starting to build like an actual contender.
This is another graph I want to share. This is from the Discord. I don't know who posted it. I think it was Scooter, so credit to Scooter. This is a chart that shows his the Merrimack offensive rating and defensive rating and net rating with him on and off the court. So the top part of this graph shows the team's net rating, and that just means like the overall efficiency of the team. So the average is 100, and anything greater than 100 is above average on offense. Anything below 100 is above average on defense. So overall, they were 23 points more efficient per 100 possessions with Durkak on the floor. If you notice, there's nobody on his team that even compares in terms of Merrimack's squad. On offense, they were 10 points better per 100 possessions with Durkak on the floor versus him off the floor. And on defense, they were 13 points better in terms of per 100 possessions on defense with Durkak on the floor than off. The guy was just an incredible elite player for them, that you just kind of have to wonder, how much will that translate? I think it will at some level. In the Big Ten, it's obviously not going to be this drastic, but when you see these splits being this wide, I think you have to understand, like, this is a guy who's playing probably below his talent levels in general.
Yeah, like you said, he averaged 17-6-4 with 2 steals per game. Is he going to do that at the Big Ten level? Probably not, but I still think he might average a decent chunk of points, a decent amount of rebounds. Like, rebounding is rebounding at the end of the day. And steals are steals. Like, I think those translate almost, maybe not perfectly, but he's still going to have some pretty solid numbers. And again, this is like your seventh option right now, like your seventh man. You want to put it like that, not seventh option, seventh man. But like, this is a sneaky good get, and you got him for 2 years. Now, I know people hear that and they're probably like flashbacks to Cam Spencer and saying like, oh, he'll be here for 2 years too. This is great. I actually think this guy stays for 2 years for the sole fact it's a Jersey guy. Next year, his role is going to be completely different. He might be a starter next year, and that's part of the pitch they made to him, is that next year he could be one of the lead guys on this team as a junior or senior. And it's another veteran. We've been saying this whole time, they need to add veterans to this roster. You had a third year guard, a fourth or fifth year. I forget what Acuff is. Fourth or fifth year.
I think he's a fifth.
Another guard. And then Martini's a fifth year guy because he had the COVID year. So it's like you just added three veterans to a roster full of young guys. Mix and match that. Get a big man. And you're talking nice little run, hopefully. Maybe. Probably.
I couldn't agree more. Big time pickup. I know that we've kind of like waffled on this, but I think, you know, maybe it's the Rutgers homer in me, but I am really sold on this pickup. I think it's going to be a big time addition for Rutgers. I think it was mainly the quotes, seeing what he had to say about joining this squad. Because, I mean, Peichel has said a few times to the media, basically, he wants guys who are excited about this opportunity to play on a team that could make history, to play on a team where they get opportunities to show out in front of NBA scouts every night. They get opportunities to be a part of a really good team, and that it's not just about my minutes, my points, my this, my that. And so when you get enough guys who all have that same mindset, I think that's when something special could potentially happen.
Yeah, and they're not done yet. There's still two spots left, and there's a lot of ways they can go with this. They can go towards the one European route that we've heard over the past couple weeks. They could go get the shooter they want now and go get a shooter and a big man, or get a big man that can shoot, and then that's the total game changer right there. There's so many options here, and I know I wasn't too fond of this addition, even like when he first announced a couple hours ago. I was kind of like, meh, whatever. But the more you read into him, he's a really good defender. He can score at the rim, which is something they haven't had at all last season. And he's a Jersey kid, and he's got 2 years. I think the 2 years thing is what's kind of making a difference for me, for the sole fact that, yes, this is a huge year. Yes, he's going to play a significant role in the team this year. But next year, you got a key cog coming back right away, most likely. Yeah. Just because he's a local kid, I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
but I mean, never say never. So, and plus, his younger brother's pretty damn good. So it's like, that's just gravy on top of it.
Yeah, his brother Aiden is a 6'5 sophomore. He's got, I believe, you know, at least half a dozen D1 offers already as, you know, a 15-year-old. So definitely going to help with his recruitment as well. I think he's the top 75 national kid right now in Rivals, if I remember correctly.
I don't think we have him ranked yet.
Okay.
But yeah, he's ranked elsewhere. You can just, whatever.
He's going to be a kid who's highly ranked. Maybe not like 5-star level, but he'll probably be a 4-star. When all is said and done. So definitely a worthwhile recruit as well. It certainly doesn't help, you know, as we've seen time and time again, to have family members play for the Scarlet Knights and helping down the line.
Yeah, we will be monitoring him all AAU season. He plays for Team Final, which is one of the better ones.
Yep.
And that's going to be against the best of the best. I know NJ Hoops has him, and this is every kid in New Jersey this year, not just juniors. Or 2026 kids, New Jersey Hoops had him at the 22nd overall player in the state, regardless of class. That's pretty good.
So. Yeah, that's really good, especially given how many highly ranked upperclassmen that were in the state this year. So
solid.
We've talked about this kid probably four or five separate times. So I think we've kind of exhausted everything. Like the pickup, we still have to pick up a big man. Unsure if they're going to fill every single scholarship with
I think they will.
You think they will?
All 13, just to fill them in general. I'd be shocked if they didn't. This is too important of a year. God forbid someone, knock on wood, gets dinged up. You've got to do something. I think you need a shooter, like a straight up just 3-point threat. Someone I want a Kyle Korver type that I just throw out there, and here you go, dude. Just let them rip.
Yeah, so does everybody else, and we've seen with Kobe Brea interest. We definitely need a big, and we need a shooter. So stay tuned to the boards and the podcast for that. One additional news item that we were talking about previously, CJ West, the Kent State interior defensive lineman, who was previously coached and recruited to Kent State by now Rutgers defensive line coach Colin Farrell. He has picked up a Rutgers offer since the last podcast as well. So Rutgers is not only interested, but they have offered him a Scotty. So I would expect to hear more about his interest or lack of interest in the next 24 to 48 hours. I would expect Rutgers to be involved with this. Rutgers usually does not offer kids within hours of them entering the portal, traditionally, at least in the last few years. So this is a guy Rutgers really wants, and I think Rutgers has a good shot at him. But we'll see how things go with it.
Yeah, he's got some big boy offers already. He's got LSU, Indiana, Rutgers, Miami, Kansas State, Colorado. Is that Arkansas? I think it's Arkansas, Wisconsin, and that's just half a day in the portal. Imagine what he does tomorrow. So
that's how things move with the portal these days. You either kind of get in with somebody early or you don't get in with them at all. So
yeah, that's going to be one to watch.
Yep. So once again, thanks for listening, guys. I know this is coming out a bit later than we usually have it, but I'm sure you guys
might have another one soon.
If you are around tomorrow in the early afternoon, you might see another pod in your feed. So stay tuned to that as well. All right. For me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Night Report Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.